Father, today we present ourselves before you with so many different needs, yet trusting you that you will supply. We're grateful to you for this afternoon. Thank you for your presence here. When two or three people gather and their reason for gathering is your name, you always show up. We thank you for your presence. Visit us today mightily here in Rancho in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord properly and then you may be seated. Amen. Now, you know, I got to ride with Lamech on my way here in his Porsche. Nice car. Okay. So, but it wasn't the Porsche I wanted you to know about. What I wanted you to know about my ride with Lamech was we were talking about tithe at some point, and then he started to share testimony. He said, I have a confession to make, I have to tell you. So as I got in here, I thought, you know, Lamech could share this testimony with us before I preach. All right. So Lamech, come up and grab that orange microphone. And
right.
Then come up here and share the testimony as you were sharing it with me.
Thank you, okay. Apostle. I thought that, you know, it might be good for me to actually, you know, confess this to Apostle on my way here. Because, you know, I have not been paying tithe this year, you know. And I think that the reason why I wasn't paying tithe, I had gone back to my old ways of just trying to look at things in a worldly manner, where 1 + 1 = 2. And in the world of our Lord Jesus, 1 + 1 = 11. So when you try and put those numbers together and explain to someone that, hey, if I put this, I'm going to get more, it doesn't make sense. So my testimony was that when I was 19 years old, I was very blessed and very fortunate when I arrived in Australia, because I left Zimbabwe at the age of 18 on my own. No family, no parents, new country, surrounded with white people. And, you know, coming from Zimbabwe, where Mugabe had kicked out all the white people out of the country, it was kind of strange for me, you know. So, and I had no job, no visa, nothing. But like I had shared with you guys my testimony on the mountain, I was told that when I get there, they will be waiting for you. Everything is going to be okay. So just to fast track to my testimony with Apostle, I was employed as a canvasser fundraiser, the job that Ace was doing for my company. And that first year, I think my starting salary was like $60,000. And I think I was like roughly around 19. I was very happy and very glad that the Lord had blessed me. I'm walking in Australia. I'm doing it. I'm sending money to mom, dad. Everybody's so proud. So most of my money I was giving to church and my family just to make sure that, you know, I give back to the people that had spent money on me, raised me well, and also for God for helping me through this journey, remembering the lady I had met in the mountain. So that year, I gave a lot. I even actually helped the church in Australia build a stage. Pastor Chris will tell you all about that. And that year when I finished, when I was going through everything I had achieved at the end of the year during Christmas, I had a lot. I had a lot of tangible things that not even $60,000 could have purchased. Then I started thinking, I know it all. I'm super cool. I'm smart. The next year, I went to my boss, talked to my boss, repped them, did all this stuff. They increased my pay to $100,000. And I was like, you know what? Yes, it's all me. I can do this. Then that year, you know, the pastor told me, hey, Lamech, what's happening? Why are you not paying tithe? Oh, bills are so hard. I have to do things. I had all the clever ways of explaining that. Being a salesman, it came naturally. It came naturally. So that year, I did not pay tithe. I wasn't spending money on family or people around me. Because remember, the whole lesson behind tithe is, yes, you should give tithe to church, but also don't forget the people around you. Life is just not about you and what you need. And that's why there's more blessings in giving than receiving. You would rather sleep hungry on an empty stomach and help your brethren than for you to go home with a full stomach and have your brother stuff. Because what you're missing out is a greater blessing. So that year, I didn't give anything. Nothing to church. I actually have I had a very expensive car. This is nothing to what I had that time. I had a very expensive car, and my lifestyle was different. When the year finished, I had debt. I was in a hole. I'd spent more than I had, and I had nothing to show for it. And my life was miserable. Was I happy? Was I satisfied? No. So that taught me a very big lesson, that there's a mystery behind giving. The mystery that Apostle was teaching us 2 weeks ago, that when you sacrifice that 10%, like right now, the past year, I was that person. I was calculating 1 + 1 + 2 + 2, then please, oh, you know, I gotta pay the Porsche, I gotta pay this, I gotta pay. It doesn't work like that. And I realized that sometimes through giving and going down is the only way you can rise up. So that was my testimony, that year, I had nothing to show for it. I was actually in a bigger mess, and I had to actually work myself out of that mess. So, you know, I just want to thank God for us having, you know, such a church like this. Regardless of whether that 10% goes to buy microphones or goes to buy something, it doesn't matter. What matters is, have you done your part? Your buck stops when you give. What happens with it is nothing, it's none of your business, to be honest with you. You know, why it's not? Because the blessing is in giving. So I learned the hard way, and right now I want to assign Reverend Munene that if you see me for one full month without standing up there on stage, please come and ask me, do you want to go back to being broke again or not? But it's a blessing to have a church like this. That's what I wanted to share.
That's powerful, isn't it? Flamek, I know Reverend Munene is going to be on your case. See, he just asked you that question. You feel like being broke. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's a truth, and it's always great to have a testimony that supports the truth. Amen. I mean, I was amazed when he was sharing with me that when he was making less, he had a better life. And had more to show for it, and things that could not even be explained by the income that he had. Then when he got more money, he thought he was becoming smarter, you know. And then when he stopped paying tithe, he was surprised that at the end of the year, he was rather in debt. And how that happened, he doesn't know that either. It's a mystery. Hallelujah. So it's really powerful. Thank God. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Now let's, go ahead and clap for him. Yeah. Okay. Now, we had a longer service this morning, so we're going to have a shorter service this afternoon. Zola, is that okay? We shouldn't have a shorter service. Oh. Zola doesn't want to be blamed for. All right. Okay. So last week, I was sharing with you how tithers make God build a house for them. Do you remember that? How tithers make God build a house for them. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why tithers prosper is because the principle of tithing engages a lot of the principles that make people wealthy. Do you understand? And one of the symbols of wealth is owning your own house. Just having your own house. Like being able to live in your house debt free. Do you understand? I'm not talking about having a mortgage arrangement with a bank where the bank sort of owns the property and you get to live in it and it's never really yours. Do you understand? But I believe that we must agree with God. Do you understand? When God says that you should not owe any man anything. See, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, you see that actually, when God is not happy with someone, one of the things he allows the person to go into is debt. Like when God is not happy with someone, like when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and he starts to explain to the people that because you didn't listen to me, these bad things will happen to you. One of the bad things is that somebody will lend to you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, he said that one of the bad things that will happen to you for not listening to me is that I will make someone lend to you. That means I will create a situation where you will be in debt. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can imagine that how can debt be a good thing when God uses that as punishment for people? Do you understand? When God is not happy with someone, he says, one of the ways I'm going to show you I'm not happy with you is that I'll make you owe people. I'll put you in a situation where you're going to have to borrow money from someone just to live your normal life. Hallelujah. So God's plan for people that he's happy with is that they would not owe, that they would not be in debt, and certainly not for a place where you live. Amen. God would want his people to dwell safely in their own homes. And I see you having your own home in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I see you having, and you better believe it. Amen. Because sometimes church people have a way of saying amen even though they don't really believe. Do you get it? Just say amen, you know, routines. Like asking somebody, the person is sneezing, how are you? I'm fine. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's more of a spontaneous answer or response to an amen that the preacher said, and not that you really, really do believe it. Do you understand? But I want you to believe that God is going to bless you with your own house as a tither. Hallelujah. Now, we were going through how that happens. Number one, we said it's because tithing makes provision for the house of God. Do you understand? Through tithing, you make provision for the house of God. Like Lamech was sharing, he said he helped the church to build a stage. You see, he was in the church looking at the church. Look, the church needs a stage. So here is, I'm going to help. I'm going to do this. You make a provision for the house of God. When you make provision for the house of God, you should not be surprised that God will also make provision for your house. Yeah. When you help God's house, you shouldn't be surprised. In fact, you should expect that God will also help your house. Because the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. That is why people who sow discord in God's house, people who sow confusion in God's house, they need to be very careful. Because you're not going to send confusion and sow confusion into God's house and climb upstairs to your house and rest. Do you understand? That's not going to happen. That if you create confusion in God's house, then you will reap confusion in your house also. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So one of the ways that tithers make God build a house for them is just by that provision. He said that there may be meat in my house. So as there is meat in God's house, there will be meat in your house also. Because you provided for God's house, God will ensure that it is well with you also. Say amen. Amen. The second way it happens is that paying tithes is your way of investing in God's house. Okay? It is a way of investing in God's house. Number three is because you reap whatever you sow. Isn't it? Yeah. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So people who pay tithe open for themselves a door to owning their own houses. Literally. That is how it is. Amen. Yeah. And with some wisdom, at least God will make the provision for you. Then the next thing is also the wisdom, even to know what to do with the money that God gives to you. Hallelujah. Then number four, unless God helps you, you will never really own or build a house. Do you understand? Yeah. Honestly, especially around here. Yeah. I mean, if you live around here, I mean, you need God to help you to ever own a house. Many people ask that question all the time. That, look, the houses cost this much. How am I ever going to own one without debt? When am I going to get $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, you know, to buy a house? Most people have that question. They just can't see. So what I'm saying is real. That you cannot imagine or fathom how it's going to happen. But God is a mysterious God. I said God is a mysterious God. The way God can make someone live happily on less income than when they have more money, it's mysterious. You'll be surprised that you will have a happier life on your 90% than with your 100%. Do you understand? Yeah, you will have a more happy and a more fulfilled life with your 90% than with your 100%. Amen. Amen. So you see, and the verse that I read this morning, Isaiah, can we have that verse? Isaiah chapter 45 and verse what? Verse 2, right? Isaiah, verse, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Wow. You know, the gates of brass and the bars of iron. I have to cut in sunder the bars of iron that keep you out of prosperity and blessing. I'll have to make straight the crooked places, the twisted places. I have to help you. You need a whole lot of help from God to be able to come into the hidden riches, because he says the road is crooked, then there are gates of brass, then there are bars of iron, before in verse 3 you get to the treasures which are also in darkness. And then in the darkness, the riches are also hidden. And it is in a secret place. You don't stand a chance. This is the reason why majority of people are poor. This is the reason why many people live all their lives and never really break through. Most people just end up with an average life. Do you understand? Most people just end up somewhere between average to less than average, just trying to make ends meet, paycheck to paycheck, you know, and then they just check out of this place. Because the thing is in a secret place. Do you understand? And then it is hidden. And then the lights are off. Do you see? Then you come to the bars. Then you come to the gates of brass. And then the crooked path. Unless God is leading you, you do not stand a chance. Yeah. Oh, how I wish you guys would really believe the things I'm sharing with you. Do you really believe it? Yeah. You should believe it, Pastor Monenda. You should believe that unless God really helps you, you are not likely to be rich. You are not likely to be rich. Yeah. Do you understand? Unless God really helps you. You need a supernatural engagement. He said, I will give thee the treasures. I will give it to you. I will give it to you. I will give it to you, the treasures. Even though they are in dark places, I'll give it to you. Even though they are hidden, I'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's a supernatural something that makes people rich. Hallelujah. And I can see God engaging that on your behalf. Okay. Then number 5 reason is that God objects to people living happily in their own houses when they have not made provision for the house of God. Do you understand? Yeah. So you see that what people who make provision for the house of God, they escape that situation, isn't it? That's what we read in Haggai. We read in Haggai chapter 1 how he said that you look for much and it came to little. And when you brought the little home, I did blow on it. I mean, when God puts his mouth and is blowing away your money, I don't know if you can rescue any of it. Do you understand? Yeah, you look for much and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. He said, he that earneth wages to put it in a bag of holes or a pocket of holes, isn't it? Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. It's like your own affairs are treated with premium urgency. Do you understand? And the things that pertain to God, they are not urgent. The things that have to do with God's house, later. One day, when I get money, one day. But what you want for yourself is now. It has to be today. You know? So it's like God's things are not important to you. Now, when you live like that, then God starts to attack your things. He said, because you don't, my things don't, are not important, but your things are important. Okay, do them, let's see. Isn't it? Yeah. And so he said that, where is verse 2? Verse 2. Yeah, these people say the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. You see, this is time for, let me buy my car, let me buy my this, let me do my that, let me do things for myself. As for God's house, later. Do you understand? Yeah. And so the next verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, you know, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? You say that the time for the house of the Lord is not now. Yeah, but your house, is it time? Do you understand? Is it time? Is it time for you to rent that place? Is it time for you to get that thing for yourself? Is it that one? It is time, eh? You see, then it says, and this house lie waste, you know. Then he says, consider your ways, verse 5. Consider, now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. In other words, the reasons why we do all the things are not working. The things are not yielding the reasons why we do them. Isn't it? Yeah. And he says, there's nobody warm. Even though you are putting on winter clothing, nobody is warm. And then he says, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Do you understand? So you see, unemployment is not the only problem a person can have. You can have a job and still you come to the same place as the person who doesn't have a job or have an income. Because when you are paid, you put the money into a bag for protection, not knowing that the bag itself has holes, is leaking. And he says, why? Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. It will make me happy. I will be happy with you, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Do you understand? And that's where your blessings begin. Your blessings begin when God has pleasure in you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Which brings me to the next point. The next point is that God will be touched by your efforts to build a house for him. God will be touched. That is how come tithers are able to get God to build a house for them. Because God will be touched by your efforts to build a house for him. And that's what he said. Look, give us that verse again. Go to the mountain. Go to the mountain and bring wood. And build the house. Go to the mountain. Bring wood. And build the house. Then what will happen? I will take pleasure in it. Hallelujah. God will be touched. God is showing you the pathway, you know, to pleasing him and getting him to build something for you. He said, you go to the mountain, bring wood, build the house. I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified. Hallelujah. And when that happens, you would have touched God, as it happened in the case of David. Hallelujah. David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And that desire to build a house for the Lord just touched God so much. Hallelujah. It touched God so much, you know. And God said to David, you know, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7. So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7, okay? And let's start from, you can start from the beginning. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house. Say, in his house.
In his house.
You see, he is sitting in his house. And the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. All the things that were fighting him, God had sorted them out, all his enemies, and he was sitting in his house. God had caused things to work out for him. Do you understand? Now, a lot of people, when they are in this state, they think about how they can expand. Do you see? When people have prosperity and they have things, God has blessed you, your job has worked out, transfer has worked out, this has worked out. Most people just direct it to themselves. They just create a new problem for themselves. A new problem. They just expand so that they don't look rich. What I mean is that you take on another problem for yourself, which starts to swallow all the things again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's say you have bills, you have debt on a car or something like that. You pay it off, then you go and just try to expand or do something else so that you can have more. You see, so then you are back to the same place. And it's like you are still needy when you really are not needy. Do you get it? God had given him rest about from all his enemies. You see, verse 2. And this person said, the king said unto Nathan the prophet. That was his pastor. He said, see, now, I dwell in an house of cedar. That is top wood. Isn't it? Yeah. Hardwood floors everywhere, throughout. You know, no cheap carpet anywhere in David's house. Okay. And he says, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Do you understand? That means a tent. It means rented space. You see? Then, verse 3. Then Nathan said unto the king, go do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. Go back to verse 2. Verse 2 again. He says that I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Okay. And then in verse 3, he says that go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with thee. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. Do you see? The same day that Nathan had that meeting with David about the house of the Lord. David said, it bothers me that my house looks better. I dwell more comfortably than the ark of the Lord. I think it's a problem. Do you understand? He says that it bothers me that I have windows in my house. I have quality air conditioning. I have this, that in my house. And the house of the Lord looks funny and shabby. Do you understand? And there are sometimes when we need to make such comparisons. Yeah. And ask yourself, what things are in your house for yourself compared to what you do for the Lord? When you are buying something for yourself, what quality do you buy? Do you understand? Yeah. When you are buying something for yourself, what quality do you buy? There are some of us who have a motto that we don't like cheap things. Isn't it? Yeah. We don't like cheap things. So when it comes to you, it's like cheap things don't work. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, and when people realize that projects in the house of the Lord is going to cost them money, then they discourage the projects. Do you understand? One brother was telling me, he said he's the pastor of the church. And it was a small church. They had just started it. And he didn't have much money. His wife was working and she was doing business and had money. And he was telling me that anytime he brought up an idea, something to make the church nice or grow or something that will involve money, then the wife will shoot it down. Yeah, he said his wife will shoot it down. So I was asking why. He said that the wife realized that the church is small. There are not many people who work in the church. So as he's naming the project, the husband, it's actually coming to her. Do you understand? So she developed an aversion for all his ideas. So if he comes to church and he says, let's buy a few more chairs. She's hearing that you go buy a few more chairs. And she says, no way. No, these chairs will work. It's okay. So she would always shoot everything down. In fact, I spoke to the wife and she explained it that way to me. That actually, there are not many people. Everybody else in the church is a student. So when the husband keeps announcing all these projects, it actually comes to... do you understand? It actually comes to her. See, and David made that comparison. David said, look, my house is better. I don't feel comfortable. May God bring you to the place where you never feel comfortable. When you have more than the house of the Lord. When it is better with you than it is with the house of the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? May God give you a burden for his house and say that at least God's house must be clean. God's house must be in a good place. Just like I have a good place to stay. Hallelujah. So it came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? You want to build me a house for me to live in? Then he said in the next verse, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. So what God was saying is that this idea that David has brought is a first. This is the first person who has actually considered upgrading me. Do you understand? This is the first person who has actually considered, you know, helping the church to break out of the normal mold. Do you see what I'm saying? This is the first person who has actually considered, let's do something that is out of the ordinary. He said, from the time that I brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, so tents. Do you understand? I've always lived in a tent. It says the people have always kept me in a tent, in a tabernacle. And it's not like I'm complaining, but I'm just saying that this is what I'm used to. This is the first time that I've had somebody actually thinking that I could deserve a house. Do you understand? So he said to him in the next verse, in all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? In other words, did you ever hear me complain? In all the time, did you ever hear me complain? You see, the point he's also making here is that the fact that I have not complained about it doesn't mean it's not good for you to think about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many people feel that, look, once the church is okay, they are making do with it. It's okay. So even when you have a bad idea, a good idea, you hold on to it in case if you go and bring it, then they say you should pay for it. Are you getting it? So he said, I have never complained. I've never asked anybody to build me a house of cedar. Do you see? Then verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. He said, I took you from following sheep and put you in front of my people. I took you from the back of the sheep and I put you in the front of human beings. It's a promotion. Hallelujah. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. You know, he said, you know, in case you don't know, I am the one who has brought all your success. He said, I am the one who started all this. I took you from being a shepherd boy, and then I made you the king. And then after that, I was with you wherever you went. Meanwhile, David also just sat up. He never said, maybe it's the Lord. He felt that, look, I've achieved a lot for myself. Do you understand? And I want to help the Lord. Do you understand? Which is how we feel. You know, we often feel that we have accomplished so many things ourselves. We worked hard, we've done this. But you don't know that it's actually the hand of the Lord that has helped you throughout. Do you understand? When the scripture was saying that David had rest on every side, it looked like a David thing. It is God who is now explaining to us how that came to be. Do you understand? How you came to be who you are, how you came to have the job you have, how you came to do what you do, how you came to earn the income you earn. Do you know, were you there when they were deciding your salary? Were you in that meeting when somebody said they should pay you half of what you're earning now? Were you there when somebody stood up for you? When God impressed upon somebody's heart to stand up for you and to defend you and to demand a higher salary? You were sitting at home. You didn't know what was going on. You didn't know what was going on. But look at it. It says, God said, I have cut off all your enemies out of thy sight. The reason why you don't see those problems anymore is because I have dealt with them. The reason why you don't see that sickness anymore is because I have dealt with it. The reason why that person is not troubling you anymore is because I took care of it. That is, it doesn't just happen. I have done it. I have done it for you. You know, and he said, I have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. He said, you look at it, I've made you prosper. You have not been left behind any of your classmates. Yeah. And sometimes you need to sit back and look around and look at the people you went to school with. Even the most successful around there, among them, you realize that you have actually not been left behind. There's nothing they have that you don't have also. God has given you its equivalent. God has blessed you with its equivalent. God has not left you behind. He has not caused you to be left behind. If anything at all, you are ahead of many of them. He said, I've made you a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. And then the next verse, verse 10. He says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And then verse 11. As since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Hallelujah. This is the message from the prophet. God said, go and tell David this, that I am behind all the things that have happened to you. But now I am telling you that I will make you a house. You said you will make me a house. I will build you a house. For thinking about my house, For planning and thinking for my house, that you are thinking about the welfare of my house and how things can improve. I mean, you look at the cedar in your house and you wish there was cedar in the church. That is how come God was talking about cedar. How did God know that somebody was planning to build his house with cedar? The reason why God said, have I asked anybody for cedar housing before? It's because he heard that David said his house has cedar and wants to upgrade the church to cedar level, so that at least his home and his church will be at par. And God said, you are thinking cedar for me. I am going to build you a house. He said, I'm going to make thee an house. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Do you see what God is doing for David? Do you see how God is blessing David because David thought about his house? Hallelujah. Verse 13. He says, he shall build an house for my name. You know, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Okay? And then verse 14, I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Can you see that? And verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Wow! Look at all these blessings and these promises that God is unleashing on somebody's life just for a thought. Just for thinking about God's house. Hallelujah. God said that I'm going to establish your child. Me, I'm going to be by your child. Do you understand? And then he says when your child misbehaves, he will be corrected. But as for mercy, he will never lack it. Do you understand? So you see, if you go and follow someone like Solomon and he's chasing all these women, do you understand? And then you make that your motto in life and you say that like Solomon, like me, that if the Lord was with Solomon because he had all these wives, you don't know what is following this Solomon. You don't know what security his father's thoughts have granted him. Do you understand? Yeah. So you see, Solomon did some weird things, but he seemed to prosper still. And things were working out for him. That is what you need. That is what you need. Perhaps God may show mercy to your children because of you. God will say about your child that if your child misbehaves, I will use men to correct him, but ask for mercy, mercy. If anybody thinks that the day will come when your child is down and out forever, let them know from today that they are just lying. That day will never happen. The day when they will see your child down and out because of his mistakes, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So you see, Solomon was having a great time with all these ladies. 700 wives and then 300 part-time ones. 1,000. Hey! Yeah. Now if you read this and you just go and follow Solomon, hey, you'll be in trouble. Before that guy was ever born, God had promised his father that, see, your attitude towards my house, it touches me. What you said about building the church, that thing has affected me so much that even before this boy is born, I'm making you a promise that he will be established. His kingdom I will establish. So you see, when Solomon comes to become king, he has no fights because God himself has established him. Yeah, all the people who would have fought with him, his father had fought with all of them. And all those people had been cooled down. David was dead. It was their chance to rise up against his son. Do you understand? But they didn't. They just left him alone. Because God said, I am going to... He says, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Hallelujah. And thy throne shall be established forever. It touched God so much that somebody was thinking about the house of God. See, I've come to see that with God, what a person has in mind, you know, God looks at the heart, the Bible says. And how people are thinking in their heads, even before they do anything, seems to touch God's heart. Amen. You remember the man called Abraham? How Abraham set out to go and kill his son. And God said that, just keep your son. But I'm going to treat it like you killed your son. I'm going to bless you like someone who actually killed your son. That the fact that it's in you not to withhold something that is this precious to you from me, that alone touches my heart. So you keep it. He said, you get to keep it. But now I'm going to bless you also. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to bless you also. And that is how come the Lord began to bless Solomon. You could not compete with Solomon. Hallelujah. The blessings that were upon Solomon's life, upon his kingdom, upon his career. Solomon was a winner all the way. I mean, Solomon was wealthy, and wealthy people would come and visit him and give him even more money. You couldn't stop it. If you were standing by, you would say, but this is not fair. You would say, this is not fair. How come the rich keep getting richer? You would say that the guy has everything already. How come he's the one that keeps getting all these things? You know, and Solomon would not even know how to explain it to you. He would have to say to you that, I don't know what is doing this, but I want you to know that God has blessed me. You could not compete with Solomon. Hallelujah. See, this house of God that he has given us is a window, an opportunity for blessing for us. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity for blessing for us. This house of God that he has given us. This house of God will preserve our lives. It will deliver us from accidents. It will deliver us from sicknesses. It will deliver us from dangerous lumps and other diseases and other things that are designed to take our lives. You will be alive when you are supposed to be dead. Because God himself is sustaining you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. This is how tithers are able to get God to build them a house. Because just by making provision for the house of God, it touches God's heart. Hallelujah. God's heart will be touched by your tithing and your interest in his house. And it will turn into a blessing for you. Say amen. Amen. Then the next point is that God will build a house for you as he did for Solomon himself. As he did for Solomon himself. Now, Solomon is someone who is known and famous for building the temple, isn't it? Yeah. And so when you read about Solomon, you hear more about the temple that he built. Do you see? But when you read the scriptures carefully, you see that actually Solomon didn't just build the temple of God, but God also built Solomon his own house. That while the temple of God was being built, Solomon's house was also being built. And you see that in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month. Have you seen that? Yeah. Where is it? Which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. Can you see that? So Solomon started to build the house of the Lord. And he started building the house for God. Because God said to David, don't build the house. It's okay. You don't have to do anything for me. Hallelujah. Same thing to Abraham. It's okay. Don't kill your son. You don't have to sacrifice the son. I'm going to bless you even though you didn't sacrifice your son. You get to keep your son plus my blessings. Are you understanding what I'm saying? May God say that about you. Amen. May that be the story of your life. Amen. That God is so pleased with you that even the sacrifices that you thought you were going to be required to make, the Lord has spared you those sacrifices. And now has begun to bless you like someone who made those sacrifices. Hallelujah. Now jump quickly to the end. To verse 37 says, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month Ziph. Can you see that? Ziph is what? February. Hallelujah. In the month Ziph. Okay. And then verse 38. And in the 11th year, okay, in the month Bull, which is the 8th month, that's right, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof. Do you understand? And according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Go back to verse 37 again. Verse 37. It says, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid. Isn't it? In the month Ziph. And then verse 38. Verse 38. And then in the 11th year, in the month Bull, isn't it? In the month Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So was he 7 years in building it. And then the next verse. The next verse. Okay. Hallelujah. But Solomon, have you seen that verse? But Solomon was building his own house 13 years. And he finished all his house. So as he was building the house of the Lord, he started. It took him 11 years, isn't it, to finish the house of the Lord. And then by the 13th year, his own house was finished. Which means that while he was working on the house of the Lord, he was also working on his own house. Can you understand that? That Solomon, as he built a house for the Lord, ended up actually owning a house also for himself. What do you think? Yeah. I am saying to you today that as you build God's house and build God's church, expect that God will also help you to build your own house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Side by side. Side by side. As the house of the Lord is advancing, God is going to bless you with wisdom. The Bible says houses are built with wisdom. It's not built with money. It is through wisdom that a house is built. And God is going to lend to you the wisdom for owning your own house. As you are building the house of the Lord, you just watch it. You will see that as you are building, you will look back and just wonder, how did I come to own all of this? And you will see that of the truth, God has given you wisdom. Wisdom for owning your own house. Wisdom for owning your own houses. You're going to have more than one house. I say you're going to have more than one house. Yeah. You're going to have as many houses as you have children. I was speaking to somebody the other day. He was just telling me, you know, I just bought a certain house. You know, I was just thinking of giving it to this, my son. So I asked him, because he has a couple of other sons, and I was asking him, why him? He said, well, because he's now got a beloved. I see all my sons. That son is not the first one, but he said, he's now got a beloved. He looks, out of all my sons, he looks like the more steady one, more serious. So I already have a house for him. And I was just thinking, this boy does not even know. His house is even ready. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. His father was telling me, he said, I just bought that house over there. My plan is to give it to this guy. The day he announces that he wants to marry, I'll just say, you see that house over there? It's for you. It's a blessing. My children are sharing houses at the back. You shouldn't be surprised if one day I give houses to my children. After spending all my life building the house of God. I mean, why should you be surprised? This is what I have lived for all my life, every time doing something about the house. In the month of Bull and in the month of Ziph, you should expect that me too, my house will be ready. Yeah. Because I've sown it. Spend all my time. That's all I do. Building the house of the Lord. Standing there and saying it is possible. Coming to church, even people didn't come to church. I have come to the church. And I believe and I'm encouraging people, it shall be, it shall be, it shall be. And eventually the house of God will be standing. Don't be surprised if one day God has established my house. God has blessed my house. God has blessed my children. And I can say, hey, you take that one. And you also take that one over there. Do not be surprised at all. You come and say that I've stolen church money, you will see God will twist your mouth. You see who was fighting the enemies of the guy who was building the house. It was God himself. Look, give yourself to God and his house. Don't put your things before God. David said, it pained David. David said, it's a problem. It looks like I've put my house before God and it bothers me. He said, Pastor, help me correct it. He came to his pastor and said, Pastor, help me to correct this thing. I don't feel comfortable. I don't think that my house should be like this nice paneling and everything, sealed hardwood floors and air conditioning and everything. And the house of the Lord is in a tent. When it rains, we don't go to church. He said, I cannot pretend I cannot see this. I don't think this is how it should have been. He said, Pastor, help me correct it. I want to fix this. And the pastor said, Brother, do what is in your heart. You want to build a house for God? Do it. Whatever you want to do for God, just do it. Then when the prophet left, God said, come, go back to the guy's house. Tell him that I don't want him to build me a house. I said, thank you. Said, this is the first time somebody, tell him that this is the first, this is the first time since I brought Israel out of Egypt that somebody is discussing a house for me. I've never been in a house. I've always been in tent. Rained out, rained in, different problems. That's enough. I'm okay. I've never said it's a problem for me. But for somebody to sort of think beyond what is a problem. Because sometimes we even only offer help when we think it's a problem. When the pastor comes and announces, we need some people to help do this or that. But David's own was beyond that. It was initiative. David's own was, you know, I have an idea. I think we should change this in the church. I think we should get this speaker. I think we should get this. I bought this for myself. It sounds really good. I think it will work in the church. That was the kind of mind that David had. He was thinking ahead even of the pastor for what is good. He said, this is a good place. Let's get it for the church. Let's get it for God's house. And God says, I like this man. I like him. Tell him it's okay. His child, I will establish him. Yes. Then he said that, look, his child, even if he misbehaves, I'm not sure why God was saying that. But he said, his child, even though he may misbehave, when he misbehaves, he'll be chastised by men. You know, not me, just by men. But mercy will always step in. Wow. That means when I think it's too much, I'll step in. Wow. When God is showing someone mercy, you cannot continue to punish him. No. Yeah, he says, my mercy, as for my mercy, I will never remove it from your son. I'm promising you that your son will always know my mercy. And there are some children like that. Sometimes when you go to boarding school, you don't know what covenants people's fathers have made that affect their children. You see some of these boys, they behave so badly. And then some people, not thinking deeply, start following some of these boys. Do you understand? Then you see some of these boys, in spite of being so naughty and everything, they still seem to pass their exams. They still seem to do well. Yeah, because you don't know. You see, there are some bad boys. Their pastors are priests. Or their fathers are pastors. Yeah. Recently, I was speaking to a certain bad girl, and she was telling me that her father was a pastor. I said, you were raised on offerings, and you are behaving like this. I said, yeah, God's money was used to raise you, and you are walking around behaving like this. But you see that some of these people, God looks at their father's sacrifice and says that my mercy will never leave your child. Then you have come, there's no mercy in your house. You are from the house of Saul, from whom the kingdom has departed. All the mercies are finished. And then you are following this boy around and misbehaving. You'd be surprised. You both get drunk, you're in an accident, and you see him just wriggle out of the car. And then here you are. All your bones are broken. You are stuck in there because you were riding in the car of someone, you know, whose father's relationship with God had conferred mercy upon him. what we are doing is going to affect our houses. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. Not just the physical structure, but our children and our children's children. Amen. Our households. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. You know, some of the things you see you are doing, you may not see it in your life. David never saw what he really wanted.
Yeah.
He never saw it. Yeah. But all that David had to do was to take a glimpse into Solomon's life. Yeah. And see how glorious he was. I'm sure David's heart was beating when he saw Solomon marrying one woman after the other. I said, hey, my boy. Yeah. Because David had his own problem with women, but his son took the gene to another level. Hey! It's like it's the only gene he got from his father. He took the whole thing to another level. In his old age, he'll be there. And say, hey, my boy. This boy. He's brought another one. Brought another one. So this one is from Iraq. So yeah, this one is from Syria. Say, hey, what are all these ISIS girls that you're bringing? Hey, what are all these orangus? You're bringing all these. Look, Solomon had them all the places. Just. He was making peace with the countries around, and when he finishes the discussion, he says, you have a daughter? just seal the deal with a daughter. Hey. But mercy was with him. Mercy was with him. That is how come even God appeared to him. God came to Solomon. God came to his room. Hey. God came to Solomon's room when Solomon was praying. And says, ask what you want and I'll do it for you. Just ask. It's all from his father David.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it started from this point. You say, you build me a house. I am going to show you, between me and you, who can really build a house. I see that being your story.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see that being your story.
Yeah.
Let your heart be full of goodwill towards the house of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Let your heart be full of goodwill. Let your heart be full of good things. Always think positively about the church.
Amen.
Think positively about the house of God. Always meditate on how we can improve our church.
Amen.
What can we do to make this service better?
Amen.
What can we do to make the church look better?
Amen.
Where else can we meet? Take it upon yourself. Go drive around. Look for a better place for us. Yeah, go around. So I'm just looking for a place. Look for a better meeting space. And say, I found this. I found this. Come and show it to us. I want God's church to be in a better place. Yeah. And God will do the same for you. God will do even worse. Better for you. Greater things you will see in your life. Can I have an amen? I see that being your story, I said. Receive that blessing. May you receive God's favor. The favor that comes upon the helpers and builders of his house. May that favor come upon you. That you will never lack. That your life will be full of good things. For you and your children. And your children's children. After. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was told a story one time. I was told that my grandfather was not a pastor. He was just a serious person in the church. You know, very serious person who had a lot of respect for. And I heard that he had one of these passenger vehicles, like a minibus.
Yeah.
And somebody was running around. And then he wrote on it, ministers free.
Wow.
Yeah, he wrote and they put it on the vehicle. If you were a priest, you wrote in the thing free.
Wow.
And he wrote on it so that it's not the driver who determines it.
Yeah.
The minister can read that as a pastor, he's supposed to sit in this car for free.
Wow.
And I heard that ministers will be waiting at the station for that car.
Wow.
Yeah, they would get to the station and you know at the station they load in turns. When the ministers get there, they are waiting for the minister's van. Because that one you ride in it for free. And that's what my grandfather did, you know. And I was thinking, my grandfather had so many children, you know, many sons and daughters. And I was just looking in my family, Every one of his children has a child who is a pastor.
Wow.
Yeah, every one of his children, the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, everyone has, even the ones who were not, like, I have a cousin that was not going to be a pastor. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you see some of them, you know that this one is not going to be a pastor. Look, the thing is going like this. The last I heard, the guy has just finished Bible school. I said, my Lord. Yeah, the thing was going like this. Mysteriously, it just curved and came back to come and follow like that. And that person has become a pastor. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? And I feel that it's a blessing that God has given, God gave to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then I think about my own father. My father was always supporting. See, my father used to live, I was born and raised in Accra, and we used to live in Accra. My father used to live in Accra, and he used to drive to his hometown to do his choir practice for the church over there. Do you understand that? Huh? On Wednesdays, he would go from Accra and travel to his hometown to go and make choir practice for the church. Do you see? And come back either the next morning straight to work or something. I heard that my father used to do that all the time. Somebody told me. Yeah, that my father used to do that for the church. He would buy an organ for the church. He would leave sometimes early morning, Sunday. He says he's going there doing something in the church. And he's just going to do something. Then today when I look among my siblings, you know, I see I'm a pastor. My big brother in front of me is a pastor. My sister behind me is a lady pastor. She's married to a bishop. My brother after him, I think, is a shepherd. Then my last brother is a pastor. His wife is a pastor. Wow. My wife is a pastor.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And my children are going to be pastors too. You should watch and see. God is going to bless. God is going to. It's coming from a very far place. Yes. Yeah. I remember as a kid, we would go sometimes to my hometown. We were there, and it was a house, big house, nice, very nice. I mean, when you came to the town, you couldn't miss the house. It was just a special type of house. And I remember that sometimes in the morning, priests will just come through just to come and say hello. They just come through. When they come, you see, all my father's brothers will be sitting in the compound, and they'll just be sitting there. And the priest will come and greet them one after the other. Then they give the priest breakfast. Yeah. Sometimes they will kill a goat or something like that. Then they make pieces. This is for this priest. This is for that priest. This is for that priest. This is for that priest. It's a blessing. Do you understand? So I'm just walking in a blessing that somebody has invoked. And I'm telling you that the life that you see, all these things, we finish church and then we start racing to this place and we come and Pastor Munere, today you are speeding, no? Because we saw him. We were following you at a point. I said, Pastor Munene doesn't drive like this. You see. Yeah, you saw the trailer was just moving like that. That's Pastor Munene. Yeah. But all this racing up, down, just come move the things. Then you just, look, it's a seed that you are sowing. One day people will be jealous of you. A blessing is going to rest upon your house. And they won't understand. They'll just say you are a lucky man. They'll just say you are a lucky man. But they won't understand. An investment, pouring yourself into the house of God so that people can be saved. I mean, look at the lady who came to church this morning in that place. I mean, that you would create something that somebody like that can find her place. She can hear her mother's voice in her head. Go to church, go to church. But which church? Do you understand? And that you create something that provides a place for that person You think you'll be forgotten. You will not be forgotten. You will not be forgotten. You will not be forgotten. Let's keep building. Let's keep building. Because we will reap. We will touch God's heart. He said, go to the mountain. Go to the mountain. That means it's not easy. When he said, go to the mountain and bring wood, it means it's not easy. Because going to the mountain is not easy. Building the house of God is not easy. It's a tough job. It requires climbing mountains to get wood to come and build. But he said, you go and do it. When you do it, I will be pleased with it. I will take pleasure in it. It will please me. I'll be very happy with you if you do that for me. Let people criticize you. Let people say things about you. Let people call you stupid. Let people say you are silly. Let people say you don't understand what you are doing. But you do it for me. I will be pleased with it. And when I'm pleased with it, I will reward you for it. Hallelujah. I see God blessing you and rewarding you for the work that you are doing for Him. Bow your heads and just thank Him for the opportunity to make provision for His house. The opportunity to make provision for His house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. As for your needs, you don't have to worry about them. None of these guys we are talking about was broke. David was not broke just for building the house of God. Solomon was not broke for building the house of God. None of them was broke. Don't worry about your life and your finances and so on. God will take care of that. Just keep investing yourself for your sake, for your children's sake. Just keep doing it. God will reward you. God will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for such an opportunity to build houses for God, to build churches for God, to establish churches for God. Thank you for your blessing and for such a privilege in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you.